So good evening and welcome to our Good Friday service at Peace. Tonight will be different than a normal Sunday morning service in many ways. Primarily, our hope is to create a reflective atmosphere that allows us to be met by the cross. The cross of Jesus the Christ is many things. It's the climactic moment in a sacred story, a judgment against human sin. It's the scapegoat to end all scapegoating. It's a seemingly triumphant moment for the enemy in the battle between good and evil. It's a routine execution by the most powerful empire on earth. It's retribution for the religious elites who coveted and craved earthly power. It was the perfect example of agape love and divine grace. However we approach and come to the cross of Christ, it demands that we do not turn away. It is dark, it is painful, it is vulnerable. But in the midst of the darkness, there is light and life. In the midst of the pain, there is healing and hope. In the midst of the vulnerability, there is courage and grace. We know the story doesn't end in defeat. We come to the cross of Christ knowing the stone has been rolled away and new life has come. And just as we know the story doesn't end on Good Friday, we also know the journey to the cross was a long road. So tonight, we're going to begin with the sacred meal that Christ offered his closest followers, the bread and the cup, the invitation to a new covenant. Before the example of his death, before the hope of his resurrection, a meal that would become a means of grace. The Lord's table, as we say routinely here, is open to all. It's not a table of perfect behavior. It's not a table of perfect faith. It's a table open to any who would like to participate in this Christ-like way of being in the world. These elements don't make us right with God, but they are a reminder that grace has always been with us. Whether we sought it, knew it, or asked for it, grace has always been ours. And now that grace has been made known through the broken bread, which is Christ's body, through the cup, which is Christ's blood, we see the grace, mercy, and love of God on display. While they were sitting around the table, Jesus told them he would be betrayed, told them he would be arrested, he told them he would soon die. Peter vehemently promises to never leave Jesus, but the compassionate Christ looks the passionate disciple in his eyes and tells him that his promise won't last the night. The weary and worried Jesus sings a hymn with his closest friends as they head into the garden. After just passing the cup to his disciples, Jesus now asks God to take the cup from him. It's too heavy, it's too much, it's too painful. Take this cup from me. Sweating stressful drops of blood, the human one then vows to do God's will, to lift the cup, to bear the pain. It is too much, and yet love won't stop. Waking the sleeping disciples, Jesus sees Judas and the high priest guards approaching. The zealous and passionate Peter swings a sword at one of them, cutting off his ear. Jesus rebukes Peter and heals his captor. They place the Christ in chains, and the disciples flee. Peter follows the procession, denying his discipleship at every turn. They ate the sacred meal. They got a glimpse into the kingdom. They were present with Christ in the flesh, and they ran. But the invitation never left them. The bread and the cup were still offered to them, like it is for us. Maybe our promise won't last the night, but grace is bigger than that. Maybe our discipleship will fade away, but the cup is still offered. Maybe we will turn and run, but love is always welcoming us back home. Are you the King of the Jews? Are you the Son of God? What is truth? A beaten and bloody Jesus stood before the high priest and the governor Pontius Pilate. He stood before the leaders and the people. He was found guilty without evidence. He was condemned, though convicted of no crime. The religious elite couldn't stifle him. The empire couldn't contain him. Selfless love is the one thing power doesn't know how to control. How do you control and manipulate true grace? You don't. How do you profit from pure mercy and perfect forgiveness? You can't. So you choose death. If you can't control love, if you can't manipulate grace, if you can't profit from mercy, then it must die. And then there was silence. Not a voice raised in defense of love, not an advocate for grace, not a defender for forgiveness, just silence. The embodiment of love on trial and facing death, and there was nothing. There is silence because we don't think we have it in us to be that loving, to be that full of grace, to be that merciful. We are silent because the way of Jesus is too much. It's a cup too heavy. How am I supposed to carry that? You can't, which is exactly why Jesus did. The bread and the cup are not just a reminder of grace. They are recognition that we take in Christ. We are becoming one with the Spirit. We are never without love. We can't carry the cup, but the Christ in us will be our strength. It's about midday and Jesus is on the cross. Nails through his hands and his feet, pushing himself up to get air in his lungs. This is the climactic moment of our sacred story. This is the moment where human sin faces judgment. This is the moment when evil looks like it will finally win the war. This is the moment when the scapegoat is taking all of the burden. This is the moment where the empire takes its pound of flesh and the religious elite get their retribution. But it's also flesh and blood, a breathing human on a cross. It's the cosmic meeting the material. It's the divine beating in the heart of a human. They mock and they joke. Crucifixion to them is entertainment. This is the moment where everything in me wants to yell, "Fight back! Show them your power! Don't let them do this!" And a voice comes from the cross, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." No, anything but that. Why that? What are you talking about? And again, a voice from the cross, "Woman, here is your son." And to the young man next to her, "Here is your mother. You're going to need one another to get through this. Lean on one another. Help one another. Don't do this alone. You can't." And turning to one of the guilty ones on the cross next to him, the one who defended him, a voice said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. You won't have time to make amends. You can't reconcile with those you've harmed. Your time is about up, but there is still hope. Because I see you. You, just you, you are enough. I hear your soul crying out." The cross of Christ is where the divine beats in the heart of a human. And that heartbeat isn't for vengeance or violence. It's not for proving rightness or demanding fairness. The heartbeat of the divine is for forgiveness and unity. Don't do this alone. Look around. You are family. Care for one another. You are enough, just as you are. That's the rhythm of the great mystery that is God. You are enough. Your soul may cry out, but my love remains. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you abandoned me? And those around said, "Wait, let's see if Elijah comes to rescue him." What? Why would God's abandonment of Jesus on the cross make people think Elijah is coming to rescue him? Maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they know this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From my words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. All who see me mock me. They sneer at me. They shake their heads. They say, commit your cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver. Let the Lord rescue the one in whom the Lord delights. They stare and they gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. From the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. You who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify the Lord. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel, for the Lord did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. The Lord did not hide from me, but heard when I cried. Psalm 22. Did God abandon Jesus? Or did Jesus in his last breath claim a promise that God would always hear the cries of the afflicted, a promise that love will always remain? The cross of Christ is not the place where love is abandoned in the end. It's not the place where God and Christ are separated and humanity is all on its own. The cross of Christ is where the promise of God is put to its ultimate test. Jesus trusts that the love of God will remain, that the promise of God is true, that death doesn't get the last word. It truly is a wondrous cross, a cross of promise, a cross of hope, a cross of grace, which is why this becomes a Good Friday. And tomorrow, we will have the silence of Saturday. The disciples panicked and hid. The end had come. The promise had failed. Jesus was gone. We know that this isn't the end. But can we live in a Saturday world for just a minute? Can we live suspended between death and resurrection? Can we give space to be both panic-stricken and heaven-hopeful? If this cross is real, if this cross is what this sacred story tells us it is, if this cross is where the divine beats in the heart of a human, then it's possible that grace is true. It's possible that forgiveness and mercy have been offered. It's possible that love has no limits and will always remain. Can you carry that cup? Maybe we carry that cup while panicking and breathing into a paper bag. Maybe we carry that cup with a courageous vulnerability, but we don't carry it alone. Now, with that in mind, let's truly live. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Peace, the podcast. If you would like to learn more about our community, go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. For more episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website or go to the show page, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Again, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. May you experience the love of God, and may you have peace.